sermon that I want to give today is praising God. And there are so many reasons to praise God, and sometimes I think we can kind of forget to do that or not think about it so much as we might, because there's a lot in the Bible about praising God. There's many, many references to it. I noticed one of the songs we sang had the phrase beginning each verse, praise God, praise to God, praise, and we have lots of hymns in our hymnal that talks about praising God. I had a book that I got from somebody. It's called The Hidden Face of God, and it's written by a man named Gerald L. Schroeder, and he, you know, believes that we were created. There was no way that evolution, and what he writes is scientific, and it's very well backed up, and it's very interesting. And it gives us, you can read something like that, and of course, see how we're created, our bodies, how we live, and what goes on in our body every single second. And I just want to read an excerpt from his book. This is from The Hidden Face of God by Gerald L. Schroeder. It's fun to read, because he brings out so many points. But this is one thing that he said. He says, on average, every cell forms 2,000 proteins per second. Happened by evolution. No. Protein is a string of several hundred amino acids, and an amino acid is a molecule having 20 or more atoms. Every cell in your body is selecting right now approximately 500,000 amino acids, consisting of some 10 million atoms, organizing them into pre-selected strings, joining them together, checking to be certain each string is folded in specific shapes, and shipping each signal, each protein off to a site. Some inside the cell, some outside, sites that somehow have signaled a need for those specific proteins. Every second, every cell in your body and mine, he says, every cell in your body and mine is, it's a living wonder, from page 62. So you think about that, it's fantastic. It's incredible what goes on in our body. And that's just one thing that he writes about. When you start thinking about all the different things that we can do with our body, that go on in our body, the seeing, the hearing, and how that all is put together, and expect that happened by chance, not possible. And so it's incredible. And so it shows the unmistakable hand of God in our creation. And I really say, can any reasoning person, mine, conclude that this happened by blind chance? Which is really what Darwin is trying to say. You think about it, Darwin was a really pretty shallow thinker, wasn't he? When you start thinking more than just that, he came from a lower creature and they changed and gradually changed and things happened. Well, why? How? How did these things come about? I think I probably heard this story the other day that I heard, must have been on the internet. Man came to God, a scientist, said, we know how to create man from dirt. Oh, you do? Okay, well, we'll have a little contest. And so he said, okay, you can start. And the guy reaches down to pick up a dirt. Whoa. God says, wait, you get your own dirt, God did it all. And where did it start? It started from God. And so it is fantastic. It's incredible. Philippians 4 and verse 8, we've read this many times. I'll just read it to you again. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things and think about how we're created. We it is praiseworthy. We need to praise God and thank Him for how we're made, how wondrously we're made. And so that we can praise God, absolutely. Our God is an awesome God. He is God. He's the only God. There is no other. And I thought about that, praising God. How do we do that? How do we praise God? The Bible is explicit and verbose, really, on the fact that we should praise God. And so, do we say it, sing it, think it, pray it? What is praise to God all about? What is that about? And so what I want to do is look at that. How do we do it? How do we praise God? Webster defines the word praise as to say good things about someone, and is synonymous to words such as admire, commend, extol, honor, worship. And I think we do that to our children, don't we? We praise them when they do nice things, good things, right things, do well in school. We praise them, and that's what we do when we praise God for the good things that He does for us. It is worshiping a God. Praise is more than thanking God for His blessings. Is extolling the wonderful works that He's done and is doing every day, and that He's created us in such a miraculous way, unbelievable. And science is just beginning to understand more and more about how complex the creation is. Praise means to commend, to applaud, or magnify. It is an expression of worship, glorifying God, exalting God. And also, when you think about it, it also should humble us to see how insignificant we are in God's eyes. God's thoughts are so much higher than ours, and how He's made us and what he's doing with us. And you think, that, to me, that's almost a great understatement. How much higher are God's thoughts than ours? Oof, I can't imagine. And someday I guess we'll have a chance to begin to use our mind in a much greater way, because I guess we really don't use a whole lot of our mind now, according to what the scientists are finding out, and that'll be expanded, I guess, in the world tomorrow. But anyway, glorifying or praising God focuses on the great Creator God. It brings us into intimacy with God, and it's interesting in the book. I said this. I don't know. This man, Mr. Schroeder's not in the church, I don't believe. But anyway, he has some insight, and he says, the universe. When I say it, we have it. Praising God gives us intimacy with God, because we begin to understand more and more about the great things that He does for us. And he says in here, the universe quietly reveals its unity. God is polite, knocking only gently, and we have to listen carefully if we are to hear the report. And so meditating about these things, praising God, doing these things, helps us to understand more and more about how great and wonderful our God is. And he understood that. And so is science. And physics helps us to know more and more of the order and all the creation. Then it is more apparent that the hand of the great God, it's under His control. He's doing that. And science is seeing more and more, and I'm sure that we read about that every once in a while, but the many things that come up that people say, well, the scientists know, hate to, they sometimes hate to admit that there is a God that did it, but they're coming to a point where they can't deny that there's something greater than evolution and chance happenings. God did it. We praise God for who He is and what He's doing, and we thank God for what He's done for us. In Psalm 18, in verse 3, it says these words are, Psalm 18, in verse 3, it says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Worthy. God is so worthy to be praised. And David's writing this, and it shall be, and shall I be saved from my enemies? The pangs of death surround me, and the flood of ungodliness made me afraid. But, you know, because God was his protector, he's worthy to be praised. He says that. David says, you are worthy to be praised. We praise God for the creation that we can see. And I was driving back from the lake yesterday afternoon, looking at all the things that are, all the beautiful trees and the plants, and I saw a cornfield. I saw a cornfield that must have been a mile long. I don't see corn planted, you know, and it was real beautiful looking corn. And God has blessed this country so many ways. And as I was driving, I saw deer, I saw turkey, they had a whole flock of little ones. And she had about 10 little ones with her. Dumb things, they ran across the road. I had to stop, otherwise I would have run over them. But that's a turkey. And I saw a black bear, and I saw a fox. What a world we live in, and this is God's creation. We see that, but there's so much that's created in all of this going on, how the trees grow and the seeds grow and all the things that goes on in our body. We don't see that, but it's worthy of our praise because it keeps us going. It feeds us. It causes us to grow and reproduce and all the things that go on in a human being's life that's unseen. I think Paul alluded to that. You know, we need to thank God for that, what we can't see, and understand that there's more to the greatness of God than is visible in the physical that we can see. We can praise Him for the Holy Day plan. I've often thought about it. Our Holy Day plan, what a marvelous thing that is, that God created for us, that helps us to get into the kingdom of God, to do the things that He wants us to do in an orderly fashion. The seven Holy Days plan. Amazing thing. That is, when you stop to think about how did God come up with that to be able to keep us focused on the kingdom of God the way we should, by keeping these holy days. Praise God for those holy days. Praise God for the absolute love and care for His people. Just think of how He tolerates what goes on and allows it, because He loves us and wants to see the change. And He's not a God of like so many of the false gods. they're horrible. They demand child sacrifices and things. Our God is not like that. He absolutely loves and cares for people. He doesn't want to destroy them. It's not His desire. So I say, why praise God? Well, He deserves it. In 1 Chronicles 16, First Chronicles chapter 16. Beginning in verse 23. In Second Chronicles. Doesn't have verse 23. It says in verse beginning in verse 23, it says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among the people, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols." But, you know, they're figments of men's imagination. "But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the people, and give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord and glory due his name." And so David knew about these things that God did, and he wrote these psalms, and there's so many psalms that show praises to God and how we praise God. And that's why we should do it too, because God does want us to do it. He's our creator, he's our healer, he's the author of our salvation, protector, judge, provider. And when we give him praise, it reminds us of that greatness of God, because we can take it for granted sometimes and don't realize what a protector we have, how wonderful he is, that he's watching over us. He reminds us of his presence in our lives by glorifying him or praising him, rather, praising his name, reminds us of his presence. And we can, if we kind of forget that, I think it's like we get familiar and, we've got these wonderful things going on. We're healthy and we're upright, and all of a sudden we lose that. And we shouldn't forever forget to thank God and praise him for what he does. In that, and not become so familiar with it that it becomes like a contemptible. Well, you know, familiarity breeds contempt, and we don't want to let that happen. Why do we praise God? Because he is good. It says in Psalm 135. Psalm 135 and beginning in verse 1. It says, "Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our Lord. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant." So, why do we do that? Because he's good. It enforces our faith and it moves God to act in our behalf when we praise him. He wants our praises to understand that he's the giver of these good things. And so notice the value of praise and what it did in this instance in 2 Chronicles. Go back to 2 Chronicles. And this in chapter 5 and verse 12, beginning in verse 12. "And the Levites, who were singers, and all those of Asaph and Heman and Judithim with their sons and their brethren stood in the east of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets." that's how we praise God, with musical instruments. And I don't know, we've had an ensemble. Do we still have that? Maybe it's at a break for summer or whatever, but I know we have that. You know, do you realize that those of you who are in that ensemble, you're praising God with that song. In verse 13 it says, indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. This is our God. This is who we praise. That the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. And I thought about that as we come and sing our praises, you know, with our instruments and special music and things that we do to praise God. Why do we do that? Because we want to praise God. And do we do it in such a way that it fills this room with the Spirit of God? He's here. God says he's here with us. Matthew 18:20, you know, where two or three are gathered together, and there's a lot more than that. God is here and is pleased to hear us praising him with song, and we should. You know, the little children can do that, and the young people, they seem like they're missing out here. Old people, we can all do that. Praise God and do it in such a way that we're filled with God's Spirit and joy because of what he's doing for us. You know, should not our praise to God be such that his presence is apparent? And I think it is here. We understand that God is here with us today on this Sabbath. We heard the opening prayer. What a wonderful thing to be able to just understand that the Sabbath is the Sabbath. And millions of people out there that don't know, the billions. we're training for a job to come that's going to be doing that. And they can praise God then in that way, that we can learn here in services. So we are the temple of God, and by praising God, we should be filled by that Spirit and understand what a joy it is, and be able to just remember God, praise him for letting us be here and not take it for granted. You know, it should inhabit our existence and our thinking, the Spirit of God that he gives us, and we understand it and use it, and it should fill us. It should inhabit our existence. Psalm 22. I think emphasizes that. Verse 3 in Psalm 22, it says, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. You are holy. And God is with us and in us. And so we're to be praising. That's why we should be praising God. In Deuteronomy 10:21, it says, and he is our praise. He is our God. He did great and awesome things, it says. He does that for us. And so we should praise him. And also we should be teaching it to our children. And we're admonished to do that in Psalm 78. Turn over a few pages to Psalm 78 in verse 2. It says, I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and as our fathers have told us, and we will not hide them from our children, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. And so, you know, we teach our young children that, and they can learn to praise God as we do, by what we do, generations to generation. That's what God wants. Teach it to our children. So, you know, that's some of the whys of why we should be praising God. When do we do this? It says we do it always. We should be always praising God, because if we don't, I think we can start to take credit for some of the things that we do, the successes that we have. You know what that is? Lack of humility or pride can come in. So we always should be giving praise to God. Psalm 34 in verse 1 says this. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth, and my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Continually. So in our meditations, when we're thinking about the great things that God does, that we give him praise and that honor that he deserves. Psalm 71 in verse 6, it says, by you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. When do we praise God? Always. You know, it should be in our thinking, our doing. Where we go, we can say, thank you. Praise God for the wonderful things that he has done. look over in Psalm 145. As came across I've read these verses or these chapters many times, I guess, but I'm doing that Bible reading program, and I'm following the chronological one, and I just saw this, and I should have noticed it before, maybe, I don't know, but do you know how much praise is mentioned in the last few chapters of Psalms? I never counted, but praise is all over. In Psalm 145, in verse 1, it says, it's a praise of David. He said, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. You know, how often or when do we praise God? Forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the love of the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praises of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless the holy name forever and ever. And you read the next five chapters of Psalms, and they all, I think they all start with praise, and some of these are in our hymnals that we sing about. But it says, praise the Lord, praise him. In chapter 146, praise the Lord, O my soul, while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have been. 147, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. Sing, I hope we all sing now. You know, when we're here, because that's one way we can physically be showing how we're praising God. Psalm 148 is that we sing that hymn where we praise the Lord from the heavens and praise from the heights, and his angels and his hosts and the moon and the sun and the moon and the stars. And I love that hymn. It's the one where we have to get a lot of air, breath, because it's very uplifting, but all those, that's a good place to check about how to praise God and what it's all about in those last few chapters of Psalms. Good to read on praise. So when do we do it? Always. Why? No, I mean, what happens when we praise God? Let's go back to 2 Chronicles again. Good things happened. God love to hear our prayer praises. Second Chronicles 20, not Psalm. Second Chronicles 20, verse 17. through 24. It says you will not need to fight because the Israel army had seen that there was a army coming against them. It said you will not, in verse 17, you will not need to fight this battle. Position yourself, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. And O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and the Levites and the children and the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices on loud and high. And so they rose up early and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of the holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. You know, someday we live in some troublous times, and last night I was talking to Mr. Carl Luganbill. I saw him last night, and we were talking about the place of safety. Sometime we might have to do this, go out, and we need to be sure to be praising God to, as we go to that place of safety, which we don't know where it's going to be or how, but it is mentioned. We're going to praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 22, now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon and Moab and the Mount Seir, and who had come against the Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. And so when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked forward, looked towards the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen on earth, and no one had escaped. Because they praised God with singers and they trusted God, this wonderful thing happened. So, you know, what happens when we praise God? Good things happen. And I think of Paul and Silas, as it talks about in Acts 16 and verse 25 and 26, where they were in prison, but they were singing psalms and praying, and there was an earthquake, and you know, it was a dire situation, but they were praising God for all that he did, and of course, there was an earthquake, and they were freed. Good things happen when we praise God. Psalm 117, verse 1, it says, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud him, all you peoples, for his merciful kindness. Praise God for his kindness and goodness, his great towards us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Psalm 117, verses 1 through 2. 1 and 2. So God is pleased with praise. And we see here then that he delivers. He delivers. He answers prayers, and he watches over us when we do praise God in the right manner. For each of us, personally, there's things that happen. Praise will lift us from despair. And, you know, we're praising God for the good things that he does. We tend to maybe forget or can lessen the impact of things that are going on in our lives that are not so pleasant. We don't think of ourselves so much. We think of the greatness of God and what he has done for us and what will happen. Because we'll be delivered out of all of our trials. So It's good to think of ways to praise God, even in great tribulation. You know, what we do is we discover, or we remember the benefits that we've had in our life. And we know that, Isaiah in 38, he says, the living are the ones that praise. Let's look over there. Isaiah 38, rather. Isaiah 38 and verse 18, it says, "For Sheol, the grave cannot thank you, death cannot praise you, those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth. The living man, he shall praise you as I do this day, and the Father shall make known your truth to the children." So, you know, while we're living, we can praise God for the wonderful things that he has done. And when we are dead, then we no longer can do that. We have to wait for the resurrection. And then we can praise God for that. We know that he will resurrect us. And that's a very great, great comfort. So we're created, and for that we praise God. And of ourselves, we are as nothing. It's really interesting to remember over the years. And Mr. Waterhouse, I can always remember, he said, we're less than nothing. A little less than nothing, how much is that? In God's eyes, that's what we are. We're a little less than nothing by his calling. We are sons and daughters destined for the kingdom of God. So we praise God for that. And thank him for it, and for his promises, and for what he does for us. In Isaiah 43 and verse 7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created by my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. God has made us, and he wants us to praise him. In 2 Peter 2, in verse 9, how many times have we read that? Chosen people. I'm going to read it again because for us, what does praising God do for us personally? In 2 Peter 9, 2, 9. Okay, verse 9 it says in 2 chapter 2 of 1 Peter, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people." All things that we could be praising God for, and that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we praise God for that. He continues to watch over us, lead us in this way that we should go. It's a continual thing, something that we should do always. Thanking him for the calling that we have to be in the kingdom of God. And so it's like a sacrifice. Hebrews 13, 9. Our praise is like a sacrifice. We don't make animal sacrifices anymore, do we? Of course. There's other things, but one of the things is the praise is like a sacrifice, it says in Hebrews 13, verse 15. It says, "Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise and to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Continually doing, which we already mentioned. When do we praise God? Continually, always praising God for the wonders that he has performed for us. It's a sacrifice, so we should make that sacrifice a good one, praising him always and not forget. And so, and finally, how do we praise God? And I've mentioned some already in the singing and in the things that we can do, but and that's what ancient Israel did at times, but sometimes they forgot to praise God and they lost their way, didn't they? So, but ancient Israel bowed, prostrated themselves, they prayed, praised God, they gave offerings, they sang, they played songs of praise to God. And we know that we can praise God anywhere and at any time. You know, wherever we are, we can be praising God because of all the things that he's done for us. Verse 34, it says, Psalm 34, and verse 1 and 3. I've already read that. We already read that once, but it says, praise continually. It should always be on our lips, singing, speaking. We do, of course, I've already mentioned, singing in services, playing the instruments, shouting and dancing. Well, we don't shout in church and dance, but that is a way of praising God. Look in 2 Samuel. I always find it interesting to read how David danced so joyously, made his wife jealous. 2 Samuel 6. And verse 14 says, and then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. And so all the people of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of trumpet. And so we can praise God by shouting. And there's times that I think we can shout. Maybe we want to do it by when we're out in the woods by ourselves or something. But anyway, you know, people would maybe wonder. But we can just shout with joy for the beauty that God has created around us. And there will be times, and I think we will see times, when we will be shouting for joy when we see Christ returning. And we're not going to stand mute, I'm sure, of that when Christ does come again. And there will be some shouting and praising. So, but that is one way that we can. Shouting, dancing, clapping hands. As it says in Psalm 47 in verse 1, where we clap hands and for joy. And sometimes we can do that when we're honoring our little children, the little ones when they're singing. I think it's always such a wonderful joy to watch the enthusiasm and the way the little ones at the feast, when we have the groups, the little choirs singing, how enthusiastic they are, and watching each one of them praising God. They're good examples for us, what we should be doing and how we sing and praise God. They're sincere. They believe what they're singing, and God says they are an example. We need to be like those little children and humble and sincere. Everything that we do when we glorify and praise God, it should be done in a humble manner. John 4 and verse 23 points that out. All should be done humbly, giving God the glory. John 4, John 4, verse 23. It says, "But the hour is coming now and is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." And so when we glorify God, we should do it humbly, sincerely, and truly in a humble manner. So we are to praise God in all that we do. The Bible shows us the whys, the when, the what, the how. There's so much on praise. You could read scripture after scripture about how and when God was given praise and how we need to be doing that. And we know that God is our creator. He's made us in our image. And science, as I said, is beginning and learning more and more about how awesome and marvelous of the creation that we are and the creation around us and everything that's happening in the universe. It has so much order, and science is learning more about that. We know that, and we can praise God every day for the things that he does and has established for us. And he has called us out of the world. Well, that's something to praise God for. He's given us understanding through his Spirit of this great mystery of salvation. And it's a mystery to many. They don't understand it. And we are given that freely through his Spirit, that great mystery of salvation and his mercy and his loving care. It's beyond comprehension. And he has given us the keys to the kingdom, and we are heirs with Christ. And we must give praise to God for all these awesome truths. There's none like our God, and truly he must be praised with all humility and truth and sincerity. As David said, let's never cease praising our God continually. We do it always. And we want to do it so that our temple, this body, we are the temple of God, should be filled with the Spirit and the power and the glory of God.